Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Hello, and welcome to Season 3 of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life, one tale at a time. I'm so glad you're here, at the start of a new year, a new season, and maybe even a new chapter in your own story. We're kicking things off this year with an episode I've titled, It's Impossible, Until You Do It. Now, the new year is traditionally when we start dreaming big, setting goals for ourselves, both professionally and personally. We ask, where do I want to be this time next year? What will I have accomplished? A new job? A new home? A relationship? The possibilities feel endless, until we start thinking about them too hard. That's when doubt creeps in. Maybe we set that goal last year and came up short. Maybe we've come up short so many times we've stopped setting goals altogether. If that's you, first, I get it. And second, let me gently nudge you. Set the goal anyway. And not just any goal. Set a big one. I'm going to get a little cliche here, but there are a couple quotes we need to embed in our minds when it comes to goals. The first is from hockey superstar Wayne Gretzky, who said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take." The other is often attributed to best-selling author and speaker Norman Vincent Peale. "Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars." In short, you won't achieve any goal you don't set, and the higher the goal you set, the higher you'll be, even if you miss. Now, maybe you're thinking, but it can't be done. Or maybe someone else has told you that. And that's exactly why this episode exists. Because everything, everything, was once impossible until someone did it. Running a 4-minute mile, breaking the sound barrier, orbiting the Earth, landing that dream job, buying that car, starting something new? You get the idea. And that brings us to today's story. It's a Russian folktale about a challenge that no one could crack. Many tried, all failed, until one unlikely person stepped forward. Not with magic or muscle, but with creativity, persistence, and a little bit of heart. It's a tale that reminds us the impossible only stays impossible until someone finds a way. The story is titled, The Princess Who Would Not Smile. In the Tsar's palace, in the princess' chamber, every day the princess without a smile grew fairer. What a life she had, what plenty, what beauty round her. There was enough of everything that exists that the soul may desire. But she never smiled, never laughed, and it seemed as though her heart could not rejoice at anything. It was a bitter thing for the Tsar, her father, to gaze at his doleful daughter. He used to open his imperial palace to whoever would be his guest. "Come," he said, "come and try to enliven the princess without a smile. Anyone who succeeds shall gain her as his wife." And as soon as he had said this, all folk thronged up at the gates of the palace, driving up from all sides, coming on foot. Tsarevichi and prince's sons, boyars and noblemen, military folk and civil. Feasts were celebrated, rivers of mead flowed, and the princess would not smile. But at the other end of the town, in his own little hut, there dwelt an honorable laborer. Every morning he used to sweep out the courtyard. Every evening he used to pasture the cattle, and he was engaged in ceaseless labor. His master was a rich man, a just man, and he did not begrudge pay. When the year came to an end, he put a purse of money on the table. Take, he said, as much as you like. And the master went outside. The workman went up to the table and thought, how shall I not be guilty in the eyes of God if I take too much from my labor? So he took only one little coin, put it into the hollow of his hand, and thought he would have a little drink. So he went to the well, and the coin slipped through his fingers and fell to the bottom. So the poor fellow had nothing left. Now anybody else in the place would have cried out, would have become melancholy and angry, might have put his hands up. He did nothing of the sort. Everything, he said, comes from God. The Lord knows what he gives to each man, whose money he divides, from whom he takes the last money. Evidently, I have given bad care, I have done little work, and now am I to become angry? So he set to work once more, and all that his hand touched flew like fire. Then, when the term was over, when one more year had gone by, the master again put a purse of money on the table. Take, he said, as much as your soul desires. And he himself went outside. Then again the laborer thought how he should not offend God, how he should not take too much for his work. So he took one coin and he went to have a little drink at the well. In some way or other the money fell from his hands, and the coin tumbled into the well and was lost. So he set to work even more obstinately. At night he would not sleep, and by day he would not eat. Other men saw their corn grow dry and yellow, but his master's corn prospered. Some men's cattle became bow-legged, but his master's gambled in the street. And the horses of some masters fell downhill, but his master's could not be kept to the bridle. The master knew very well whom he must thank, to whom he must render gratitude. So when the third year came to an end, he laid a pile of money on the table. Take, my dear man, as much as your soul desires. It is your work, and it is your money. And he went out of the room. Once more the workman took a single coin, went to the well for a drink of water, and looked, and the lost money floated up to the surface. So he took them, and he then felt sure that God had rewarded him for his labor. He was joyous and thought, it is now the time for me to go and look at the white world and to learn of people. So he thought this, and he went out whither his eyes gazed. He went on to the field, and he saw a mouse running. My friend, my dear gossip, give me a coin. I will be of service to you. So he gave the mouse a coin. Then he went to the forest, and a beetle crept up and said, my friend, my dear gossip, give me a coin. I will be of service to you. So he gave him the second coin. Then he came up to the stream and he met a fish. My friend, my dear gossip, give me a coin, I should be of service to you. And he could not refuse him, so he gave his last coin. So then he came into the city. Oh, it was so thronged. All the doors were opened, and he looked, and the workmen turned in all directions, and he did not know where to go. In front of him stood the Tsar's palace decked with gold and silver, and at the window the Tsarevna, without a smile, sat and gazed on him straight. What should he do? The light in his eyes turned dark, and a sleep fell on him, and he fell straight into the mud. Up came the fish with his big whiskers, and after him the beetle and the mouse. They all ran up, they all pressed round him, and did all the service they could. The little mouse took his coat, the beetle cleaned his boots, and the fish drove away the flies. The princess, without a smile, gazed on their services, and she smiled. Who is he who has enlivened my daughter? Cried the king. One man said, I, and another man said, I. No, said the princess, that is the man there, and she pointed out the workman. Instantly, he was taken into the palace, and the workman stood in the imperial presence, a youth such as never was. Then the Tsar kept his princely word and gave what he had promised. So, let's take a moment to sit with this story. I love it. Sure, it gets a little whimsical. There's a mouse, a catfish, a beetle. But that's part of the charm. Folk tales have a way of sneaking wisdom into the most unexpected places. And where this one really shines is in reminding us that goals we've labeled impossible, whether because others have failed at them or because we've failed ourselves, might not be impossible at all. They just don't happen by accident. Let's break it down. First, be diligent. The laborer didn't wake up one morning and make a princess laugh. He swept, he herded cattle, he kept showing up. And none of it looked like progress toward his goal. But that's how real progress often works. It's hard, it's steady, and it doesn't always look like a direct path to the finish line. Second, expect setbacks. He lost his coins in the well. That's a gut punch moment. And we've all had those, when something we've worked for slips away, or the path forward suddenly feels blocked. But he didn't quit. He kept going. And that's the difference maker. And third, be generous. The laborer didn't get there alone. He helped others along the way. And when the moment came, they helped him back. That's real life. No goal worth chasing is ever a solo mission. We need each other. Mentors, friends, even the occasional beetle. So as we step into this new year, I want to encourage you. Set the goal. Make it audacious. Make it a little scary. And then start walking toward it. You don't have to sprint. You don't have to know every step. You just have to begin. Because what feels impossible today might be the thing you look back on a year from now and say, I did it. Thanks for joining me for this first episode of Season 3. I hope it sparks something in you. And I hope you'll tune in next time for another tale, another reflection, and another step forward. Right here on Tales for Life.